Oh, bless God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that every good gift comes from you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the life that we live as believers in Jesus Christ. Life free. Free from the burdens of this world. Free from a guilty conscience. Free from the bondages of the flesh. Oh, we thank you, God, that your word is so true and alive. Continue, Lord. As your word tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that to change us from glory to glory. Thank you, Father. There's a truth that we need to always keep at the forefront of our minds, and that is the truth of eternity. And I've shared this before, but I want to give you a little visual of eternity. Something that can help you. If there was a tight string from one wall to the other wall, and that string represented eternity, our lifespan here on this earth would be a little blip. In the realm of eternity. How immense long is eternity? I don't know. Never ending. It's eternal. And Jesus says, I've come to give you eternal life. But the unique thing is what we do here and now will depict what we do, what position you're going to have, what blessings you're going to have through eternity. This is your training ground. This is your proving ground. What's it going to be like in eternity? Glory. Blessing. Ultimate peace. Ultimate joy. Ultimate life. But Jesus said that those that believe in me, he says, I give to them eternal life. We can tap in and touch that eternal life now. As I was praying, the reality of peace hits me, you know. The reality of God's word and how it transforms us and how it moves in our lives. So we need to overcome. And last week we ended up on we ended with page 9. We're at the top of page 10. And we're talking about the fear factor. You guys, where's your notes? Electronic. Sickness is another fear. The fear of sickness. It will cause you to become a recluse. You're afraid that you're going to catch a disease. You're afraid, and it makes you afraid of people, and you know, and there's disease in the air, and you just shut yourself up. Well, the thing about that is, when you shut yourself up, especially if you're a Christian, you remove yourself from the flock. You remove yourself from the blessing of being around and encouragement of other Christians. Everything becomes untouchable. Don't want to touch that. Don't want to touch that. Don't want to touch that. We talked about Howard Hughes last, and he was always wearing gloves. He was so scared about touching anything. But it'll cause you to always think about yourself. How does it affect me? How is it affecting me? How is it affecting me? Me, 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 me. And you also stay away from all kinds of foods. And we know that the word tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 1 or chapter 4 and verse 2 and 3 that everything is good to eat. We just pray over it. So, God's pure word says, Exodus 15, 26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do what's right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I'll put none of these diseases on you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord God, the Lord that healeth thee. Now, we went over that last week, didn't we? Yes. All right. Let's go down. The fear will cause, also will cause you to distrust. The fear of trusting. It'll cause you to not see the good in others. You don't trust anybody. It'll cause you not to have faith in God. Self-centered. If you're not trusting, you won't give yourself to be a blessing to others. If you're distrusting, you're always thinking somebody, what's their angle? What are they really after? You do not believe that others have honest motives. You are distrusting. The fear of trusting others. If you can't trust others, especially as Christians, you definitely won't be able to trust God. But God's pure word says, Proverbs, that we're to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not lean to our own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. You see, the person who's distrusting is always thinking, what is their angle? What do they want to get? You know, their reasoning. But the scriptures tell us, don't lean to our own understanding, our own reasoning. Trust God. 1 Timothy 4, 10 says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is a Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Last week we talked about how Paul was persuaded. He was persuaded and he had absolute trust in God. Even though he was beaten with rods, shipwrecked, he was always, you know, they were always stoning him, they were always beating him, they were always, you know, after him, but he had absolute trust in God. No fear. 2 Corinthians 3:2 says, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, But our sufficiency is of God. What is God looking for in us? Dependency. He wants to be that sufficient one. He wants to prove to you, I can take care of you. He wants to prove to you, I've got it. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when the heat comes. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful or worried in the year of drought, and neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. Those are the word of God that gives us a sure assurance. The fear of being alone. Anybody ever? Fear of being alone. You have a fear. And because of that, you develop unhealthy relationships. People that are afraid of being alone will latch on to anything. Or will go anywhere just to be around people. One time during, I've shared my testimony about when I was alone for a year and a half without a friend, and I'd walk down to the city area where they had a baseball field, and I'd sit in the bleachers where other people were, just to be around people. I'd just sit. And when I'd walk home, I'd go past the bar, and there's this voice that would say, listen, they're laughing in there. They're having a good time. Go on in there. Nobody knows who you are. And I go, no, I can't do that. And I'd go home and a lot of times cry. But but the Lord develops you. I wasn't going to latch on just to anything, just to be around people. Being alone, the fear of being alone, listen to this, that person does not trust in the spiritual. You have to have something. A lot of Christians in that situation. But God is there. He's there. He never leaves. He sticks closer than a brother. The fear of being alone. The person will fill their life with temporal experiences. You'll try this. You'll try that. You'll try just to have something. Temporal experiences. And what happens when you experience things that are just temporary? At first, it's a high, but then it's a letdown. The fear of being alone will cause you to look to others to fill that loneliness instead of God. Remember, it's spiritual. Spiritual first. And that person will trust in the spiritual. They look to others to fill that loneliness. And again, sometimes it'll be anything. Nowadays, a lot of people get animals. Comfort. But God's word says, Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man will do to me or not do. 1 Samuel 12:22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his name's great sake. Because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. So because he's made you his family, he'll not forsake you. Isaiah 41:9. This is God speaking, I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. You are my servant. I've chosen you and not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. What does it mean when God speaks of the right hand? We hear that saying a lot, the right hand of my righteousness. Anybody want to guess?
It's like strong.
Yes. The power. The power is in his right hand. So not only is it righteous, but it's powerful. That's the strong part of God. It's all strong, but the strongest, I guess. But the right hand is always means power. I will uphold you with my power and my righteousness. What do we have to be afraid of? What do they say about fear itself? Not fearing, but
the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Fear itself. And what is fear? We went over that. What is fear? Huh?
Disobedience.
It's a feeling. Fear is something that's not tangible. You know, you don't look out the window and go, whoa, there's fear. But fear does come knocking at the door. It's a feeling. A feeling of dread, a feeling that something's not going to go right. Spirit. God has not given us a spirit of fear. It's not from God. Okay, here's one that will touch us all. The fear of being hurt. We've all been hurt. And unless we come to terms with that, it'll grow into a fear. Fear of being hurt will cause you to become hard-hearted. You were hurt, so you're not going to let anybody get near you again. You're not going to give anybody the opportunity to hurt you again. You become hard. The person who were hurt is a fear, you have a hard time showing kindness. Again, because if you reach out, you could get hurt. Somebody could slap that hand. For some it is. Have a hard time showing kindness. Does not allow others to be close. We are a family. Have you ever seen families that are not close? That's not healthy. A little dysfunctional. Yes. The fear of being hurt will cause you, you will not develop deep relationships. You will only let somebody get to know you, or you will only get to know them so far, and then you close the door. Fear of being hurt. Fear of being rejected. Fear. That person, the fear of being hurt, will cause you to put on a false front. I'm doing all right. Yeah, I'm doing fine. Living in fear. But God's pure word says, 1 Peter beginning at 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he, listen closely, who will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Who can hurt you if you're a follower of Christ and that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Be happy. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your heart, and be always ready to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason that is hope, of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that you that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that if you suffer for well-doing, than for evil doing. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. If we trust in him, we've latched on to his word, and we develop this relationship with him. In all reality, what can hurt you? I mean, the Bible says in Isaiah, there's a scripture that says, no weapon formed against you can prosper. Excuse me. But listen to these words. No weapon formed against you can prosper. No weapon formed against you can prosper. What does that mean? Pardon? Though it's formed against you, it can't harm you. So there's going to be weapons formed against you, but they won't be successful. It doesn't say you'll never have a weapon come against you. Let's understand. And that's what this is saying. It's better for to be persecuted, or to be, you know, for them to speak of you evil, but you're doing good. That's what they did to Jesus. It's better to suffer that than it is suffering, okay, you did something wrong and you got to pay the consequences for it.
Still have some courage and some faith.
There you go. Right in the face. Psalms 23:1. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul and leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You, Lord, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. And you anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. I don't have to be afraid of anything. Even if I'm sitting at a table with my enemies. Isaiah 41:11. Behold, all they that are incensed against you shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them, and you won't find them, even them that contend with you. They that war against you shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold your right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I will help you. Man, if God's for you, who can be against you? Ooh. Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. The fear of the unexpected. Ho ho. The fear, unexpected, those who have a fear of the unexpected, they always have to have a plan. If you always have to have a plan, what don't you have? Faith, trust. You always have to. But the next one. The fear of the unexpected will cause you to be very controlling. You have to control your surroundings so nothing unexpected happens. The problem is you can't control everything. You try. Now, try to see this as Christians, okay? I mean, the world, they got their life. But this is how devastating these things are to Christians. The fear of the unexpected, it does not allow any deviation from a planned event. It's got to go. Does not allow any deviation from a planned event. Everything's got to go according to the plan. Step one, step two, step three, step four. Can't deviate from it. Control.
It's like most church services.
So, what's my saying about being comfortable? We have to learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Because you never know where God is going to lead you. But you can be comfortable because it's always going to be good and right. Listen to Romans. Whoops. Where am I? Whoops. I got to go back up. I have a lot of scriptures. Well, one more. Yeah, two more. The fear of the unexpected. You have a hard time following others. I don't need to say anything on that one. And lastly here, the fear of the unexpected will cause you to not take risks. No faith. I've got a lot of scriptures. And we'll close with this one, with these scriptures. Exodus 3:10. This is when God met Moses in the burning bush. "Come now, therefore, and I'll send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh?" Now, if you've ever read or seen the Ten Commandments or you read this whole story, you know Moses didn't have a good self-identity. And even to the point to where, if you read that whole thing, God got frustrated with him. He said, "Well, God, I can't talk, and God, I can't do this." And God, you know, he just made every excuse in the book. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly, I will be with you, and this shall be a token unto you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain." And Moses said to God, "Behold, when I am come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me unto you,' and they shall say to me," yeah? "What's his name? What shall I say to them?" And God said unto them, or said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" And God said moreover unto Moses, "Thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations.'" So, you know, Moses had a little fear about going back, but God said, gave him instructions every step of the way. Jeremiah, we're talking about the fear of the unexpected. Jeremiah 29:10, "For thus says the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. And then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I'll hearken unto you. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." His thoughts and his plans for you are good. So he won't let, you know, the unexpected happen. Although we may think there's things that are unexpected, but they're not to God. You know, God isn't going to be, you know, when something happens, "Whoa, I missed that one." No. He has it all. "I know the thoughts I think towards you." Genesis 28:15. "And behold, I'm with you." This is God speaking to Abraham. "I'm with you and will keep you in all places where you go. And will bring you again into this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of." He's going to see his word for you through to the very end. Psalms 121, beginning at verse 1. A song of degrees. "I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which has made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. What more of a guarantee do you need? What do you have to worry about? And lastly, Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Remember, you and God are a majority. Hands down. You and God are a majority. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also give us freely all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God. There's that right hand again. Jesus at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Jesus. He's watching over you, interceding for you. Wow. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes we're killed all the day long, we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, but no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So, unexpected? Come on. Bring it on. God's going to see me through. Actually, it's not unexpected, in all truthfulness, because God's already got it. He knows from the beginning from the end, right? It's only unexpected to us. We have a few more. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word gives us clear direction and clear remedy for the fears that plague mankind. And your word is true. Your word is alive. Your word works. Your word delivers. Your word fills. Your word frees. Your word is truth. And we thank you that we can rely, depend, stand, speak your word, and it'll stand forever. It will not fail. Show us your truths continually, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.